everybody. This is the nematode section. We're talking about nematodes. We're talking about the damage that they cause, and we'll see what we did here in Lonoke County. I worked with Dr. Terry Kirkpatrick and Dr. Scott Mumford. Well, Scott Mumford mainly. And we were looking at systems, a systems approach to controlling nematodes and thrips in Lonoke County. We were looking at the different products and the products that are available to farmers, you know, are in packs. They control nematodes, insects, and diseases. And they're different types, you know. Do you want a seed treatment? Do you want a granular in-furrow approach? Do you want to go a fumigate route? Well, what's a farmer going to do? Just a few minutes, just a brief overview that y'all have already seen today. Cotton nematodes can cause up to 50% yield losses. In general, they just reduce plant health, more susceptible to diseases, thrips injury, drought stress. It's already been relayed here 2-3 times that the nematodes work feed on the root systems so that they reduce water movement in the plant so they can mimic drought stress symptoms. And I think they're just unseen. Most farmers just really don't know that they have them because they may not be threshold level, and they're probably not taking soil samples to see. I work with farmers, so I know that they're not taking soil samples to see. They're just going out there and kind of shotgunning things sometimes. We mainly are dealing with root knot nematodes here. We do have a reniform problem. And that's kind of why I put this reniform picture in over here to remind me that we do have a reniform problem, but mainly we're talking about root knots. Just got finished with the paper dealing with the thrips damage and the thrips injury, raggedy, crinkled leaves. The main thing that thrips do for us is they delay maturity. Yes, cotton can compensate makeup yield, but my gosh, if it starts raining in the fall, we can't get the cotton out, that's no good to us either. So in many areas, in some areas of our state, especially north of the interstate, we try to have as early of a crop as possible, and we don't want anything to delay maturity when we can do something about it, especially. I'm a county extension agent in Lonoke County, so this might not be as much research as you'd like to see, and most definitely not as much statistics. So I deal with farmers and their problems that they have day to day. We're in the eastern central portion of the state. We have many areas in our neck of the woods that have a cotton monoculture, years and years of cotton, just the same as many of you guys. We have lots of silted loam soil, so we have some good soil in a good kind of a perfect storm situation for root knot nematode populations to really blow up on us. And like I said, in our area, I think our producers are just probably not sampling as much as I would like for them to see. We've got some consultants that do, and we got some consultants that don't. So I really would like to get that a little further developed in our county. And we do have several problem fields. And the field that we did our demo in is one of those. I feel like I was just doing my job. I was here last year at the Beltwide, watched Aris and their new product come off. And I had heard farmers that year complain about Evicta, whether or not it was doing its job, whether or not the farmers were happy about it. You know, it was just some concerns. And in that series of county meetings that winter, I heard Dr. Kirkpatrick talk about using the right product in the right situation, using a fumigant in high populations, a seed treatment in low, moderate populations, perhaps, Timokin, in kind of a higher population. So I thought, well, has anybody in our area specifically seen what Aris and Evicta look like side by side, and how does that compare to Timmy? Well, that's my job, so I just thought that's what I would keep on doing. Plus, it helped me get a promotion later on, too. So my main objective was to compare systems that a farmer can plant. Yeah, I said can, but I put in their will. Because just like the Georgia folks were talking about, you cannot measure convenience from an extension as an extension agent. You can tell a farmer, yeah, you need to spray this for Roundup and then come back and spray such and such for thrips, because you don't want to spray your pyrethroid because you're going to release spider mites. I'll be daggum if he doesn't spray his pyrethroid first and releases spider mites just because he'd have to make an extra trip. So Timic is not just real user friendly. Our guys are used to it, but it's getting to be, it is a hassle. Not getting to be your kind of, it is a hassle. It's toxic, and we really need to take extra precautions. We need more than gloves and just our long sleeves when we're dealing with Timic. Telone, in our neck of the woods, probably just not going to happen. That means an extra trip across the field. We're having to burn down earlier. We're having to worry about that. We've got a tank mix with herbicides and stuff. We got to make extra trips with that sometimes. And making an extra trip across a field with an 8-row telone rig is probably not going to happen too much. There's also rumors around that it's hard to get, and we're just not that many telone rigs out there. Seed treatments are easy. You load up the planter and you don't have to get off until you run out of seed. Oh my gosh, how easy is that? So I think it's more of a system that a farmer will plant than what he can plant. The treatments that we looked at, now this is where you get into the, is this a county agent demonstration or is this research? Well, this was a county agent demonstration because we looked at systems. We had an insecticide on the seed, in the furrow. We had a nematicide in everything except our check. And we had a fungicide in everything. They might not have been the same, but we were looking at systems that were available to farmers. So we put out our telone strips earlier. We used a 3-gallon rate, which is the bomb, according to Dr. Kirkpatrick, is what we should use to control our nematode populations. We treated those seeds that were planted there with Cruiser Dynasty. Then, thanks to Bayer, we got some Aris, and we included the fungicide Trilex with that to keep our systems comparable. We used the Evicta Complete Pack. Now, the Evicta Complete Pack is the reason we had to put the fungicide in everything. And we wouldn't do that if it wasn't going to be planted so early. We'll talk about that in just a second. Our farmer was going to use Timic anyway, and that was kind of a hard thing to find. He did use Timic at a 5-pound rate, so we treated that seed with just Dynasty. And then we had what we would consider a control of just Cruiser Dynasty. How do we do it? Thank you to Gus Lorenz and Kyle Caldwell for treating most of our seed. And that's Keith Driggs in there, if y'all know him and believe that he actually works. So that's a picture that proves it. We tried to do this on a farm size scale. We had an 8-row planter. We loaded up that planter and we made 4 passes through the field in these, like a large strip trial, like the gentleman from Georgia was talking about earlier. We wound up with 32 rows, 8 times 4 is 32 rows of each treatment, randomized and replicated across the field. It's about an acre when you got down of each treatment, of each pass when we went down through there. It's a half-mile field, I think. It was planted April 23rd, and I was talking to Dr. Lorenz about doing this trial, and he said the earlier the planted, the better. So that's what we did. It was actually probably one of the first fields planted in the county. And right at Pinhead Square, we side dressed the whole entire field with Timic at 5 pounds. And these, as a county extension agent, you take some data, but you don't take, real technical data. It's real easy to get out there and drag a tape measure out there and count plants, so that's what I did. No difference in stand counts and plants per 10 foot a row, either on May 5th or the 7th of May or the 21st of May. About what we expected, we aimed at a 3 to 3.5 seed per foot situation. We had some pretty poor weather for the first couple weeks of this cotton crop, so we wound up with 2.5 to 3 seed per foot. Thanks to Gus's graduate student, who just gave a similar talk at 3:00 next door, he counted our drips for us. And if you look at everything, no statistical differences except our Timic And the only thing I can think of here is we planted on the 23rd of April. Over the weekend or within that next week, it turned off cold. And I think it rained about 5 inches within the first 2 weeks of this treatment. So I just feel like the thymic didn't get absorbed into the root system, and it just didn't make it into the plant well enough. May 21st was about a month or so. No significant differences except for our thymic. Our thymic is still throwing our numbers up. Our Aris and Evicta and the Cruiser on the Telone and the Cruiserbite Stealth are still not statistically different. We also took a thrips injury rating, and you can see when you've got more thrips, like in the thymic situation, you're going to have more injury. The injury rating kind of broke out on our second date of May the 21st, but it was still, our cruiser still was held. Our cruiser and our seed treatments were still not different. In the middle of the summer, I got Scott Mumford to come out to do a field day for us, and he said, "Oh, while I'm out here, let's just do some gall ratings." So we did that. Of course, Telone is right down here where you expect it to be, down at 1. Our scale, you'll notice our scale is 0 to 5. 0 is no damage. 5 is 100% of the root system galled. So our Telone was 1, which is almost what you would expect. And everything else, except for the Evicta, was a 3. This is where the rubber meets the road, and this is what the farmer wants to see. Our Telone out-yielded everything significantly. Aris and Evicta, not statistically different from each other, and our thymic and our cruiser by itself fell off. We know our thymic had thrips injury early, so we can account for some yield loss there. You know, maybe if we'd waited 2 more weeks when we defoliated, we could have got the thymic, you know, yield up a little bit more, but I doubt it. This was in Lone Oak County. I got to hurry up here. We did a little other research in Jefferson County. We had Evicta, Aris, and thymic alone, and then we had Evicta, Aris, and thymic followed by a thymic side dress at Pinhead Square. Lots of numbers, lots of letters. Nematode counts are hard to meet statistically different. I'm a weed scientist, and this is just my first experience with nematode counts, nematode numbers, but they are hard to make them be different. No difference in nematode numbers. Very little difference in yield. Our Aris kind of fell off a little bit here, but this is kind of what we've been seeing in all the other talks we've heard about today. And my conclusions really quickly, no difference in stand counts, we saw that, and thanks to our weather situation, the thymic was not as effective as we would like for it to be. Our seed treatments offer similar thrips control, and our cruiser and Evicta show the least thrips injury, and our Telone and Evicta reduced our galling rating. Our Telone yielded the highest. Our Aris and Evicta were only 20 pounds difference, and I'll bet in next year you could flip-flop those, perhaps. Increased galling and thrips injury reduced thymic yield. I guess a point I didn't have up there is that field did have a history of nematodes. Its initial population was in the 1,000 to 1,500 nematode, root knot nematodes per pint range. So I'd like to thank all these people on the screen, and I'll take any questions if I have any time.
So that big trial you did, the
Lone
Oak, where you side-dressed everything, why did you decide to do that?
That's what the consultant wanted to do. Seriously, that field did have a history of nematodes in it, and the test only took up half of it or so. That's basically why. His question was, why did we side-dress?